Hi, everybody. Welcome to Two Off the First. It's May 31st, 2023. I'm Ryan Ballengee. It's good to have you with us. Hope you had a good Memorial Day weekend. Ours was extended by a day. Our kids' school actually had an extra day off because we had no snow days this year. So we had a 4.5-day weekend, half day Friday, Monday, Tuesday off, Saturday, Sunday. So hope you enjoyed everything. We got to spend some time with your family as part of this. And hopefully, if you're in the United States and celebrated or spent time thinking about Memorial Day, you spent some time thinking about those millions of Americans, 1.2 million since the founding of our country approximately, that have made the ultimate sacrifice for us. I'm Ryan Ballengee. It's good to have you here. We've got a bunch of stuff to talk about. No live stuff. We're not no live things today. I know that's a frequent thing on this show. We're going to talk about two particular things, and they really relate around the 2024 PGA Tour schedule. One, kind of a change of heart for Jon Rahm around an important topic relating to next year's schedule. And then the schedule itself seems to kind of be out there. So we've got at least the inner workings of it more or less fleshed out, not exactly all the puzzle pieces where they need to be, but we'll talk about that a little bit. Also want to really kind of preface where we're going in the next couple of weeks on the schedule. There's so much to come, so we'll talk about that maybe a little bit at the end of the show. We are presented by our friends at Swanee's Golf. If you're watching the show, I'm wearing one of their great hoodies. It is extremely comfortable. It's also pretty cold in my house today. So extremely comfortable. Really great details, like the way you have the closures work so you can keep it nice and tight. Beautiful print on the inside of the hoodie, which is great for a bald guy like me. Very nice kind of separate pockets, not kangaroo style pockets, down here at the bottom. It is absolutely lovely. Check them out at Swanee's Golf. And you can find them at a variety of retailers, including Nordstrom. But Swanee's Golf, just Google it, you'll find them. SwanneesGolf.co is where you need to go. So let's start the show talking about Jon Rahm. And Rahm is here in the field this week at the Memorial Tournament, which is presented by Workday. This is for you, Workday. And this tournament is one Rahm has obviously performed well in previously and controversially had to pull out of in the COVID era when he popped for COVID, which he was about to win the tournament. He was up a zillion. And that'd probably be one of the weird controversies of the COVID era, but that's another time. Anyhow, he had a pre-tournament news conference and talked about the world in which he is going to operate next year, because the PGA Tour schedule, while it has evolved this year, will evolve even further for 2024. We will no longer have the fall portion of the schedule count toward the next year's schedule. It's going to be an extension, rather, of the year-long season, the calendar season. And the schedule that guys like Rahm are going to adhere to is really January through August. So Rahm was talking about a variety of different things, but one of the really important things that came up was his changing view on the notion of cuts in designated events. And he was asked by a reporter in the news conference about Tiger's opinion and Jack's opinion that at least their events, which will be designated next year as well and moving forward, should have cuts. And Rahm was asked whether he thought he would agree with that sentiment and asked for some clarification. And said, well, do you mean these two events? Do you mean Jack, Tiger's, and Arnie's events? Do you mean all the designated events? And eventually the gauntlet was laid down of, well, kind of mean all of them. But if you want to talk about those three in particular, sure, that's fine too. And Rahm gave some really interesting thoughts, basically saying he's changed his mind on this issue. And that at one point he was very much pro no cut, and now he is pro cut. And I think at least reading some of the response is worth, because it really helps to illuminate, I think, what some of these guys are going through and what they've thought about it one way or the other and what might change their mind. If you're pro no cut instead of being pro cut, what might make you think about it? In Rahm's case, it was a pair of experiences, one very recently. So let's go into the response. I don't want to go too far into it because it's kind of lengthy, but we'll give you bits and pieces of it. So he said, I had first been an advocate for no cut, and the more time has gone by, I've become an advocate for a cut. I think it's a part of the game, and I think it's an important part of the game, as harsh as it may be, to cut out maybe only 20 players. So he's suggesting even having a cut in these 80-player or whatever the number of player events, even if you cut it down to 60 or 55, that's still a cut, and that means something relative to having no cut. And he's talked about the PGA Championship in particular at Oak Hill. He said, it's a part I enjoy and I experienced recently at the PGA That Friday had a different feel when I was fighting to make the cut. It's a different type of pressure, and you never know what playing good on a Friday to make the cut might ignite towards the weekend. So I think it's a part of it. And then he's not like Koepka, where he doesn't know the history of the game or tries to act like he doesn't know the history of the game. He's very well aware of some of the historical records he's either approached or has passed over his short career. So this makes sense, this next part. If that went away, cuts that is, Tiger making 140-something cuts in a row wouldn't have the same significance because that would never be broken again. So like I said, I pushed for the no cut, and then as time has gone by, I actually think we should have a cut. And it should be worth noting here, while I appreciate him saying Tiger made, you know, the cut streak meaningful, right? It was incredible. But a number of those events were no-cut events. It was the era of WGC. So it's not to say that every cut Tiger Woods made was a legitimate cut. By playing the tournament in the WGCs, for example, he made the cut. So long as he got to completion, he made the cut. So that's not to take away from it. That's a small percentage of the overall streak, right? But still, that's something worth noting. And if you had a couple of events, like you do presently before this year on the PGA Tour schedule without a cut, that's okay too. You had the CJ Cup, you had the Zozo Championship, you had the FedEx Cup playoff events before there was the era of cuts. Now it's 70, 50, 30. Now you have big cuts down, right? It's a little bit different now. But you're going and having harsher cuts from the first three rounds of the playoffs, but the first playoff round at least has an actual two-round cut. So moving forward, does that mean that PGA Tour events in the designated realm should have even a meager cut, whether that's 20 out of 80 that gets cut or 20 out of 90, 30 out of 90, maybe expand the field a little bit, something like that. And how do you wrestle with that from the business standpoint? Because the PGA Tour wants to do the no-cut events because they want the best players there regardless of whether they make the cut. Now, I have a solution around that. My idea is to have a cut and you have that 20, 25, 30 players, whatever that is, you have a cut and it's significant. And the players who make the cut, they play for the big money. They're playing for that $3.6 million check and those life-changing sums if you're really in the top 10, but top five especially. And then for the players who miss the cut, they get paid. They get paid to show up. You get, I don't know, $20,000 for being there, regardless, whatever that number needs to be. I don't know exactly. But you have those players who miss the 36-hole cut, effectively have a B-flight tournament that goes off before the main show in the final 2 days, and the winner of that gets a bonus that amounts to just a little bit less than what it would be to be the last place player to make the cut. So you're playing for something, stars are there, you get a little bit of everything. Get a little bit of pre-tournament entertainment on Saturday and Sunday. Gives you a better reason to watch Golf Channel instead of just showing one shot in a commercial like they do usually on the weekends. I think everyone can win from that. But that all said, Rahm also said another thing that really made him think about the position of cuts and whether it meant something to him was the BMW Championship last year, second round of the playoffs, Wilmington Country Club in Delaware. And he said, I take pride on being a consistent player and making a lot of cuts and giving myself chances to win. I think that's important. I wouldn't know how else to say. I based a lot of my reason before in what I did last year in the playoffs. I think it was at the BMW where through basically a round and a little bit, I was going to miss the cut. Played 9 good holes and played an amazing weekend and finished in the top 10. But who says you always deserve a chance to make the cut and be on the weekend? I don't know. It was just the feeling that I had. I wouldn't know how to explain it. The Masters being a major is usually going to be a field that looks a lot like the designated events will look like next year. 80-some players. Closer to 90, but whatever. And there's a cut. No one says anything about it. Tiger tying that record of 23 cuts in a row means something. So I think the historian and the person who is in love with the game kind of went back and realized that it's something actually I enjoy a lot. Kudos to him for coming around to the point. And I think that there are a number of players who, on one hand, would love the free money, right? Qualifying for these 70 and 80 player events guarantees you probably at least $45,000, $50,000, depending on what the payout structure looks like and how many players ultimately qualify. But at the same time, that's also diluting that money because the cut rule in the PGA Tour is to the top 65 and ties. So that could be 65, could be 72. The Nelson was like 84, but it's been exceedingly rare since the PGA Tour has gone to 65 and ties. Usually somewhere between 65 and like 72 is a common number. So you're diluting yourself because you're going to have that pay scale already in place before the tournament starts. In regular events where they cut to the 65 in ties, the PGA Tour adds money to the purse for every player above 65th place. That money is added to the stated purse. So that way, everyone gets paid. The LPGA does it a little bit different. They actually take money away from some portions of the payout to pay the lower parts of the payout when now their cut rule is 65 in ties. More than 65 make the cut. The winner still gets 15%. So that's something very much worth considering here. If you're a star player, oh yeah, I get automatically paid for showing up. But if you're Justin Thomas or Jordan Spieth or name your guy, top player, how often do you come to an event and think, man, T50 is really good? You're not thinking about that at all. That's a consequence of not playing well. But that's not in your head. There's no way that it is. So if you can come in and say, there's a cut, paid or not, for making the designated events, and I think there probably is a case to be made to pay for it, but that you have a cut, however small that it is, you've made a cut, you've done something there, and you move on. I think that's the way that they should go. And to that point, there has not been apparently a final decision on cut or no cut events. And Rex Hoggard's been all over this, done a good job with it, schedule stuff with Golf Channel. This is his report today. He talked to some PGA Tour officials, or at least an official. That official is Andy Pazder, who he talked to. And they're not exactly sure what they're going to do in terms of the no cut events and their structure for next year. And we'll talk about what the structure of the events overall look like. But Pazder did not provide details to Golf Channel about exactly how it's all going to work out, but did still say the tour still plans to keep some, if not all, designated event fields to 70 to 80 players, but added, quote, there may be some flexibility when it comes to cuts at the elevated events, designated events, is what you should say. Jay Monahan has said that the point would be to have no cuts at them previously, but it's not exactly certain. Andy Pazder got a little bit more into that, kind of said, well, maybe we'll see. Here's the quote from him. We are having a further conversation about that. I'm aware that certain hosts of designated events have voiced the viewpoint that they'd like to see a cut at their event or some of the designated events. We've announced that they would be no cut events, but that's something that if there's support for a change there, could be that it's some of the designated events, all of the designated events, or none of the designated events having a cut. We will have a conversation around that. So, sounds like the idea is out there that there could be some cuts, and there are some players maybe lobbying for even a meager cut just to kind of have the appearance of one. I think that's worthwhile. I think they should have a cut. I understand why they don't, but I think that they should. So that's an interesting position change where it sounds like there may be a little bit of groundswell support for this. What that ultimately looks like in the wash is still very much to be determined. But that also gets into our second story, which is kind of a helpful segue, which is the outline of the 2024 PGA Tour schedule is here. Now, the tour says they are fully sponsored for next year. So that means they've probably got a close to a replacement name for the Honda Classic, whatever that's going to be, and that either they're going to have a replacement for AT&T at the Nelson, or they're going to keep AT&T one final year to get the Nelson. We'll see about that. But as it relates to the schedule and the cadence of the schedule, we now have a better idea of what that's going to look like. Again, thanks to Rex Hoggard and his obtaining of what he's calling a sample schedule for next year that's been passed out to players and agents and those types of folks, and give them an idea of what the schedule is going to look like next year. And that schedule is going to look kind of close to, if not exactly like, what Jay Monahan has talked about previously. I think he alluded to it some of the players, definitely talked about it some last month. This idea that there's going to be a schedule of on weeks of designated events and then several off weeks of full field events and then back on again and off again and on again and off again throughout the January through August time period. And that's how the season will work. And that the full field events will be used to help populate some of the field for the next designated tournament. So without trying to go so far in the weeds here that it's going to take forever, I want to go through some of this. So we're going to start the year in Hawaii, right? As we always have, or at least as long as I can remember, talking about golf with the Tournament of Champions. We'll have that. Then we'll have three full field events. Sony Open in Hawaii, and then presumably the other two are the American Express, which has been the first continental United States event of the year for, what, I don't know, 15 years? Longer than that, maybe. But then after that, you're going to have Torrey Pines and the Farmers Insurance Open. Those will be the first three full field events. Then they'll have two in a row to start February that are designated events. But one is not mentioned. Not all of them are mentioned in this sample schedule, apparently. But one of them is probably going to be AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Then Riviera right after that. So you have two in a row, back-to-back. Kind of like what they did this year with Phoenix and Riviera. But instead, Phoenix won't be a designated event, and it'll probably be after the Super Bowl. It won't have that Super Bowl date, which is kind of interesting. I don't know whether they like that or not, but that seems the direction in which it's going. And Phoenix seems like it's going to be one of three designated tournaments leading into the Florida swing. So you'll have probably Phoenix, potentially the Mexico Open in that span, and then another event that could be the Honda replacement sponsor event. That could be maybe moving the Zurich Classic into this time frame, which I think would be a good idea. We shall see. But then you're going to have back-to-back events in Florida that are designated / elevated. You got the API and the Players back-to-back once again next year. Then you're going to have three events off in terms of designated. You're going to go back to full field stuff. And for those events, you're probably going to have Valspar, and maybe you have the Honda replacement in there. I'm not sure, but you're going to have three events in there. And you're going to have a lead into the Masters at that point. So it sounds like Houston Open has a good chance of getting in this part of the schedule, and the Valero Texas Open will be there. So you might have two Texas events leading into the Masters. You have the Masters. After the Masters, designated event. Sounds like it's going to be Heritage again at Harbortown, which actually kind of worked out really well. I don't think it needs it, but hey, whatever. Then you're going to have two full field events. That could be, I mean, you've got some options there, I suppose. And then you're going to have another designated event. Sounds like that's going to be the Wells Fargo Championship once again. And then you're going to have the PGA Championship right after that. You're going to have two more events. Those are probably going to be the Texas events, is my guess, Colonial and Nelson back-to-back. And then you're going to have three designated events in a row. Memorial, which will be pushed back a little bit from where it is now, but that's okay. U.S. Open and Travelers, back-to-back-to-back. Now, on the schedule, it doesn't say Travelers, but it's going to be Travelers, I'm pretty sure. They put the money into it. They're going to get it. Three events, full field style after that. So you would presume like the John Deere Classic, maybe the Rocket Mortgage or the 3M. One of them is going to be the Scottish Open because that is not a designated event. If they made it a designated event, found a sponsor for that, then you could have this similar cadence of a designated event and a major, but that's not the way that it is and is also co-sanctioned. So that also probably wouldn't work either. So you have the Open Championship come back for three full field events, presumably 3M Open. You're going to have the Wyndham Championship as the last one, you would think, although that's not guaranteed, I guess, and then one more. So you've got all of that to work out, then the playoffs, then the season's over. What's not mentioned in this report and in this sample schedule, and it may be on it, may just not be in this report, are the proliferation, potentially, of opposite field events. So there's a new event that's coming to the Myrtle Beach area. Very happy about that. I spent a lot of time there. And it's going to be played against or opposite a designated event. So that's going to be a $3.9 million purse. You would think, given some of the reporting around it, it might be the one opposite the Wells Fargo Championship. So is there going to be a series of designated events that have opposite field events if they were once a quote-unquote full field event? So Pebble Beach, Travelers, Heritage, even though it's 132, and so is the Phoenix Open. Wells Fargo is 156. Well, if you're going to slash those fields to 70 to 80 players, you're taking, at a minimum, 52 guys out of the field in each of those events, which means they probably want playing opportunities. And maybe the tour's compromise is to have opposite field events against all of them, so that way you would have opportunities to play if you didn't get in those events that week. And you could earn FedEx Cup points and all that good stuff. So maybe you have the Myrtle Beach one. You've got the Puerto Rico Open. You've got Punta Cana. You would think there might be one more. I haven't heard anything about that, but you would think there might be an opportunity there. Now, there is some potential intrigue here in that there is a Utah resort that just announced an LPGA stop starting in 2025 that also has some interest in a PGA Tour event. Now, that could be a fall event. That could be an Oppo event. But that could be a name that gets thrown in here eventually. But I'm still very curious what those opposite playing opportunities are going to look like for these players, because they're going to need them if you've got this schedule where you've got 70 and 80 players getting into these events and you're going to need to rack up points because you might not get in the playoffs, but then you've got to go play the fall, the FedEx Cup fall, as they're calling it, to lock up your spot. So having those extra playing opportunities will mean something to getting in that top 125. And I think you're going to get some takers on that, especially because the price tag to host that event is going to be way lower than being a designated event. So we'll see about that. But that's the outline of the schedule for next year. I think that's about right in terms of 2-3 weeks on and off between designated and full field. Got some oppos in there. I assume that you're going to still have these co-sanctioned events. Maybe you will, maybe you won't, with like Barbasol and the Barracuda. I guess we'll see about those two. They've been there. I assume they're not going anywhere. But we'll find out about that. And it'll all kind of come together in the next few weeks, sounds like. I don't think it's going to be dramatically different in the end than what we've had this year, except in the number of players that get into events and whether those designated events that have smaller fields also have cuts. We'll see about that too. But we've got a lot to get to in the next few weeks. We've got Rose Zhang making her pro debut this week. We've got Memorial, which is always a great tournament. We're about to go into a couple national opens leading into the U.S. Open. It's going to be huge at LACC. We're about to have the women's PGA at Baltusrol. Then the summer gets really opened up because the women's opens at Pebble, which is going to be awesome. You're going to have the Open at Liverpool, which should be pretty fun. It's a fun venue, very different style venue, I think, than most of them in the rotation for the RNA. It's going to be a great, great summer of golf and lots to get to as school's starting to get out for people with kids and for people with nothing but time on their hands and no kids, all kinds of golf watching opportunities. So plenty to get into. Hope you enjoyed today's show. If you do catch us as a video and you're watching on YouTube, please consider subscribing to our channel and clicking the like button. Leave us a comment. Helps reach more people. Same thing if you're listening on a podcast platform. Give us a 5-star review. Leave a comment. Also does the same thing, but in voice form. If you're catching us some other way, podcast or video, thanks for spending some time with us. If you're listening to us on GNN Radio, thank you so much for doing that. Please consider subscribing to our channels on iHeart and tune in. We'll be back tomorrow with another show. Getting ready for the tournament week underway at Memorial, Porsche European Open, Rose Zhang and Mizuho America's Open. We've got the Korn Ferry Tour. We got a pretty full slate this week, so plenty to talk about. We'll do that with you tomorrow on 2 of the First. Thanks so much for watching. We will see you tomorrow.